a star on my car and one on my chest. A gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm the guy who's a boss on this highway. So watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm a working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
Yes, highway patrol, highway patrol. You know what that means. It's time for another edition of Safety Talk here on KWHI. Greg Montana, be joined by Sergeant Jimmy Morgan from the DPS in Studio Day to answer your questions about whatever it may be on those highways, the byways, back roads, waterways, skyways. I mean, again, they do cover it all. And we've got a lot to cover today. A lot was going on here over the last a few weeks since we last talked to you. And you've been kind of busy, haven't you, Sergeant Morgan?
I think I left when we were talking about water and the hurricane coming in. Well, we're still talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, I'm just being joined by Sergeant Steve Woodard.
Yeah, he's
coming in.
I didn't get to intro you because you weren't here. You want to show up late on it.
That's all right. That's all right. You can do it now, Craig.
No. He's already done it.
Well, before I get started again, I'll come up with some kind of trivia today, but Country Boys sponsored today's program.
Oh, Country Boys.
Man, that's good, too.
What did you have this morning?
One of them kolache. That and some coffee. And so, thank them for sponsoring today's program. I'm glad Steve's here because a lot of what we're going to talk about today, where Steve is stationed out now, and he's going to have firsthand knowledge and some of the stuff that I'm going to be bringing up. But I've never seen anything like it in my whole career, Craig. I've been through a couple of these hurricanes and stuff, and we talked about something that we thought we knew was going to happen, right? And so I was telling people, hey, reach out to your family members down there and all that. Let them know that, you know, get that stuff worked out. That was on that Thursday.
Yeah.
Well, that thing hit that Friday. So a lot of things did happen, and it's sad. When somebody tells you the amount of rain, over 50 inches of rain, it's hard for somebody to envision what that means. Some people say it's 19 trillion gallons of water. Same as our national debt, by the way. That's a lot. Okay.
Yeah, that's quite
quite a bit. Okay. So, it just overwhelming, from 300 miles of coastline, starting, just north of Corpus, even parts of Corpus and back up through Orange, where I was in Jasper yesterday, covering the Orange County area along with Beaumont, Jefferson County down through there. The amount of homes and business and areas this thing has affected. And then just look over to our east and see another one coming right at the Florida coastline, knowing what we experience here.
Yeah.
And they have a Cat 5.
Yeah.
And this was labeled as a Cat 4.
Yeah, and there's one behind that one, too.
Yeah, so this is not good. So a couple of things, and I'll take some – anybody got any calls, phone calls, I'll just send them my way, whatever. But we're going to – most of the program today, we're going to cover some of the things that we did at the AIN scene that we kind of know what's going on, try to get people back up to date, kind of where we are, what our department's doing with assistance of other agencies down there. But one of the things that continues to be a problem in Steve area, my daughter reminded me of this last night. It takes her 2 to 3 hours to get to work now, where it used to take her within an hour.
Really?
And the reason of that is Steve knows that there's still some highway closures after 2 weeks of this. And so the best thing I can tell people to do, unless Steve has something else to add to this, is that drivetexas.org that we've always talked about on this program. I saw it firsthand when I was sitting. By the way, in my district, we had over 300 road closures, which included Washington County, by the way, in my district when this thing hit after the first couple of days. So I was busy in the Bryan district office for several days before I was sent out to Jasper to assist in their efforts out there. But so we had some problems of our own, but not near the type of problems that they had down in Harris County, which covers about 34 cities, by the way. One of the largest counties in, if not in the U.S., Harris County being what? Chiefs third, being the third, yeah, third largest city. So a lot of areas affected down there. But main thing, drivetexas.org, they kept this thing updated when road closures were coming in. I was working with TxDOT at our JIC, what we call a Joint Incident Command Center, kind of DDC there in Bryan. We were all working together, but that website kept a lot of people up to date, kind of where the road closings were, and it's probably still today is staying up to date with some of the road closures that we do in Steve's Harry. Do you have anything to add to that, Steve?
It is, Jimmy. That was my lifeline. You know, now you have several different websites, Craig, that'll tell you different flood avenues, et cetera, but this drivetexas.org tells you the flood avenues, the road closures. In some instances, it'll tell you, you know, if there's a crash, if they input it. I got to give it to TxDOT, Jim. That was my lifeline when it came to presenting the information to the media. DriveTexas.org.
Well, I was getting phone calls out of state that people were wanting to come through, and I had to tell them that site was probably the best site. Because here's the deal, as we found out, that road, to the day you call me, and at the time you call me, that road might have been okay.
Right.
2 hours later, we might have been talking a different story.
Yeah.
Because as these, you know, after rains were over with and everybody thought they were in pretty good shape, well, especially down there with the bayous and some of the lake reservoirs and stuff down there, that where the flooding was coming from there, then we had a different set of problems. So as the water continued to move south, it started affecting these areas. So originally, a lot of people thought they were okay. And then all of a sudden, here comes some type of waters down through there, and it changed the whole scenario. Let's see here. As far as our department, I'd like to point out that, look, when we sent over 1,900 personnel from DPS, we're talking our Rangers, our aircraft division, CID guys, whatever, to work on looting and all these things. Our main mission when we went down there was to protect and preserve life and help with these water rescues as much as can. We did have some available shallow water boats within our agency, and certainly we work with the other state and local and county agencies in this effort. And then certainly we like to say, hey, as you saw on TV, we had a lot of good Samaritan people that had a boat and said, hey, look, I'm going down there to help. And certainly they saved a lot of lives and helped a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
These efforts, you know, typically when you have this, you'd like to have some coordination, knowing who you got, where they're going, all that. But this thing was so large, it was hard to really do that, put your hands on it, to know where what everything was going on. And it was changing every moment. So, but we like to say, hey, we appreciate the help that we did get from the citizens, because we had a lot of people, not only here in Texas, we had some out-of-state people come through and come down there and from – I know in the game warrants service, the Florida even sent some game warrants back this way to help. So we had help from a lot of different places. We continue to work at it, but we're down there hopefully now going from more of a kind of secure and keep from looting and not protect people's property and trying to help out any way we can. So a lot of these areas sometimes, as you know, it's still hard to get a vehicle in there to get to them. They're very limited, especially in the Beaumont area, Orange over there. They had water running everywhere. So we're still very limited in some things that we can and can't do based on the water levels that we still have. Steve, you got anything to add to that part of it?
You know, I tell you what, Craig, I was a part of the Hurricane Katrina relief.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you right now, looking you at your face, this was worse than Hurricane Katrina.
Really?
But I will tell you this, and I was there, but I will tell you that the support, and Jimmy, you got to back me up on this, the support for law enforcement was huge, extremely huge. Craig, I couldn't pay for a meal. I couldn't because the support of the community. And I got to give a huge kudos to the Brenham community, because there's a lot of folks within the Katy area where I live that was actually volunteering from Brenham, including your FAA division up here and everything. I mean, it was just great due to the unfortunate circumstances. Jimmy mentioned looting, and we'll mention that probably throughout the program. I will tell you this, Houston, the Houston police chief Chief Ardar Cervello, he's taking it pretty serious down there. And he's actually joined with the Harris County Sheriff, Sheriff Gonzalez, to where, you know, these guys are enforcing this stuff with all means. It is unfortunate when an individual goes through a catastrophe like this, leave their home, and they come back, and their stuff is gone or been rummaged through. And I tell you what, Harris County and the surrounding areas, they're not putting up with it. But guess what, Craig? The Texas Department of Public Safety is joining hands with those agencies, and we're trying to lend a helping hand to stop that stuff as well. Jim, I seen something interesting the other day.
What'd you see?
So I'm driving on I-10, and I see three troopers on four-wheelers.
Yeah, I forgot to mention, I did see something about AT vehicles that we had with our department.
Yeah, we have eight of them stationed down there.
I'm a darn.
But I seen three.
Right.
And they're still, this was 2 days ago.
Was they like red or were they painted up
black
like
and white?
Oh, okay.
And
man,
they were riding through thigh deep water. Still at this time doing the rescue efforts.
They'd float?
No. Just going through them.
Just going through them.
Just going through them. Ain't that something? In your career, Jimmy, did you ever think that we'll be riding on ATVs and riding on boats?
We got some horses, too, by the way.
Yeah, that's true, too.
True. Big horse. Hey, we got some big horses, I would tell you. Yeah, we got some big horses.
How many
I saw them at 8 a.m. from, we use them around the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're Welches or something, and they're big, by the way. So, hey, we've had it. Hey, since I tell these young troops, look, when I came to work for this job, they had me a citation book, a warning book, and a crash pad told me to go to work. Okay? We came a long way since I started working this day. We've got a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Got the Marine Division. We got a horse unit. We got a motorcycle. We're coming back with our motorcycles back when we had back in the 60s, back in them days. So we've got different units that we've added over the years. And you don't really think about these things until something like this happens.
That's it.
And
yeah.
And then they're put in effect, and you're thinking, man, I'm glad we had them. You know, mm-hmm. Our Marine Division down there that, with the boats, shallow water, but we needed them.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure we don't relook at this, because when you have these things, as we talked about when I was here that Thursday, you think about the past, what we learned in the past. So when you have these things happen, you have to relook at you say, hey, what did we do right? And what do we need to improve on?
Right, right.
We may, you know what I'm saying? It may be, so well, we should have had some more boats. We may need, on these hurricanes, got a light flashing behind. Just let me know what that means.
Just a phone call. Let's see if we can get somebody in here today. I was engrossed in the conversation. Sorry.
This is the first time Craig has actually just looked at us. He's taking it in.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of
with his Dallas Cowboy hat on.
You better believe it.
All right.
Good morning today. You're on Safety Talk. You have a question today?
Yes, I do. What I would like to know here on 1155, water crosses the road down at Copeland Spring. The highway department puts that sign out right at the bottom of the hill. Okay, if they would move it up to Plantation Road, mm-hmm. The reason I'm speaking about that because during the time of the flood, it was an 18-wheeler and went all the way down to round the curve when he ran up on the water.
Yes.
And you can imagine he couldn't turn around. So I assisted him on getting back up the hill. He had a half mile back up with a 40-foot container and a sleepover cab. Mm. And you had some workers down there at the bottom of the hill. But, and I'm not putting my own whistle or tooting it, but if I hadn't assisted him getting back up the hill, I don't know, that poor fellow would have been down there if the highway department had to put that sign up on Plantation Road, instead of him trying to back a half a mile up a hill. So that's my comment this morning on that. Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Mm-hmm. So he makes valid, makes a very valid point. Some of these areas where to put a water barricade, mm-hmm. you certainly want barricades where the water is actually going to be across, but you know, you have to take that in consideration on large vehicles. Where can we give them the first notification that say, hey, road ahead closed, right?
Yeah.
Turn around at this point. In other words, give them a place, an avenue at that point to go to a different road or to get somewhere to get turned around. So It's a valid point, something that when we put these signs out, we have to consider that. So I think he makes a valid point, and I appreciate helping that old boy out. So we'll pass that on. There's a secondary location they may think of where they can put them signs. I'm not really familiar with that roadway, to be honest with you.
It's out in the county, out in the country. Right.
And that's an FM road we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
1155. It connects right there, the light in Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1155 right there.
Okay.
And then it goes all the way around and connects over to 105.
Okay. So that's something that TxDOT can look at. Maybe they can say, okay, this happens again. We may want to reconsider, maybe have signs there, but also have signs letting people know ahead water, so that, especially on the larger vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something TxDOT can look at.
And that's what's good about this program, Jim, because you, I, Craig, TxDOT, we can't be everywhere.
Yeah.
So, we ask our listeners to let us know.
Well, let's take a break, Craig. I'm going to get me some coffee here. I'm going to come back and talk about some other things that came up through this and give some numbers, some information. If people have family members in this area, some certain numbers and stuff that I need to get out to make sure people are aware of. DL closings throughout Region 2 because of the water and stuff. So let's take a break, if you don't mind, and come back. And we'll talk about that.
All right. Then we can do that. Safe to talk today on KWHI. Questions, call us here, 979-836-9937. Also, the email, Sue. We'll take those email questions as well. I'll check those if we haven't got any yet. We're kind of engrossed in the conversation today. But safe to talk. We'll be back after this on KWHI.
When shopping for a new car, you want an honest salesperson with integrity. James Baker is that man, and he is now the newest sales consultant at Apple Ford in Brenham. So when you need a new car, truck, SUV, or pre-owned vehicle, stop at Apple Ford and ask for James Baker. He could show you the latest, hottest Ford for your budget. James Baker and Apple Ford, a great team working together for you. Call 836-3659 or stop in at Apple Ford, 1820 Highway 290 West, and ask for their newest sales consultant, Brenhamite James Baker.
Head to the Colorado County Fair for cowboy boots and country roots. This year's 39th annual County Fair kicks off Thursday with Seniors Day and a lot of fun activities, including the new Alamo Attractions Carnival, Michael Mesmer comedic hypnotist, would-be creations by Burt Fleming and his chainsaw, Mutton Bustin', and new this year, Bruce Banner's comedy and juggling, all appearing each night. There's also a pet show on Thursday and live music featuring the Emotions. Friday night's lineup includes a CPRA rodeo, the Redneck Truck and Tractor Pull, and music by the Texas Dream Band and headliner John Conley. Then enjoy the fair parade on Saturday at 10, followed by an antique car show, antique tractor pull, barbecue cook-off, the junior livestock sale, and CPRA rodeo. Plus have an evening full of live music by the Nathan Colt Young Man, Bart Crow, and headliner John Michael Montgomery. So for loads of fun, lots of thrills, and great entertainment, get your season pass and head to the Colorado County Fair, Thursday, September 7th through the 9th.
Don't be fooled. Alltree Services, doing business as Master Tree Services, is the original Alltree Services in the Brenham area since 1999. There are several Victors in the area claiming to be affiliated with Alltree Services, but Victor Alcala is the only Victor affiliated with Alltree Services, now known as Master Tree Services. That's Victor Alcala, A-L-C-A-L-A. Master Tree Services has the most experienced team in the area, and they value your business. They can provide you with the best service possible, including pruning, trimming, and removing trees. Master Tree Services does it all at an affordable price. They offer free estimates and other related services. Plus, they have $1 million liability insurance policy for your protection. To make sure you have the right Victor, call Master Tree Services at 979-836-7140. That's 979-836-7140. Mention you heard this ad on KTEX and get a 20% discount. Master Tree Services, 635 Highway 36 North in Brenham, in the same location since 1999.
Welcome back to another edition of Safety Talk today on KWHI. Craig Montana joined by the Sergeants Morgan and Woodard in studio today. And gentlemen, thanks for visiting with us. Again, know that you guys were super busy the last couple of weeks with everything that's happening with the relief efforts and recovery efforts before that. So
Craig, I will say it's a beautiful day today, man.
Man, it's gorgeous.
I wiped out this morning. My neck swelled up.
Anyway, Craig, despite everything, it's a beautiful day.
I think it's time to go hunt.
You could even put
we're close. We're close, man.
That's right. Yeah.
Couple more
can you believe it, man?
A couple more weeks for bow season.
That's what I'm saying.
Loving it. Plus, if you're a dove hunter, they're already open with that.
Yeah.
Have you seen a lot of dove? I didn't know what the system did to them. So that's...
Some people said that they're seeing a lot of them. Some people are like they haven't seen many at all. So I don't know. I haven't been dove hunting in years.
What are you gonna do, Jimmy?
Well, I got to go get a license first.
Yeah.
I ain't had time.
Yeah. Understand.
Step one. Don't forget that. Game wardens will find out, and they'll let you know about it.
Yeah, and they're listening, too.
Okay, so Hurricane Harvey, one of the things they were wanting people to do, I had that website also. If you have been affected by Hurricane Harvey in any matter, what's areas up through even Austin County and all through there, a lot of these areas were affected. You know, they want you to go on their website and get that information already started, okay? There's a 1-800-621-3362 number also to call in, but get to that FEMA website and get I think it's hurricanedisaster.org or something like that. I'll find it here in a minute and get the right stuff, but they just want to make sure people get on there early and so they can get some of your claims and stuff started. And so they're it seems like they're really trying to help people out in that regard. So if you're wanting to send things, here's a good one. If you're wanting, and I know a lot of people want to help, whether with their time or with food packages or sending water, clothing, and all that. You probably need to make a decision. Where do you want that to go? What county? Because last time there was over 50-something counties in this area that was affected by this thing. So I would go to the county's website or the city website, and Steve may be able to help me out here on this, and find out what they want you and how they want that. Because once you get it down, that's one thing. Where it goes and how it gets distributed, I'm sorry, is another thing. And so there's some logistics that you have to kind of go around and take care of doing all this stuff. So, Steve, take me away on that part of it.
And some counties may need, and this is just an example based on what I've experienced, some counties, Craig, may need Pampers. They may not need canned goods,
right,
et cetera, et cetera. So that's a good point, Jimmy. And, again, to that that disaster relief assistance, you were right on it, Jim. It's disasterassistance.gov, and it's over 28 counties that are involved in this, that are helping out with this actual FEMA distribution. So, like Jimmy said, and I'm looking at it right now, Jimmy, you're like, you know what? Let me say this real quick, Corey. So they're giving us these law books. Every year they give us a new law book.
And they get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Bigger and bigger and bigger. But, you know, I tell folks, you know, what is the difference between Jimmy and a Texas law book?
What is it?
Jimmy's going to explain it. He's going to explain it. And I appreciate you for that, Jim. That disasterassistancerelief.gov, that's going to get you where you need to be if you need some sort of assistance. I've been told that as soon as you present your claim, they're reaching out to you within days. And that's really good. Again, over 28 counties are a part of that, trying to help folks out. That means a lot. If you have, again, canned goods, Pampers, et cetera, and you want to donate, call that entity first, because I'll give you an example. Some folks within my neighborhood wanted to donate to the NRG, where our beloved Houston Texans play. And a lot of stuff was getting shipped elsewhere because the NRG already had an abundance amount of certain things. So, Jim, you hit it right on the head, man. And I will tell you this. I have to thank those volunteers again, because if it wasn't for folks coming from out of town, coming from this community, this thing wouldn't be rocking the way it is, Jim.
One of the agencies I left up, you know, Governor Abbott, he deployed our whole Texas National Guard.
Oh, man, I just seen a convoy of seven coming up here now.
Yeah, which, you know, which somewhere around 12,000.
Yeah.
Now, we also have help from other state National Guards, my understanding, 47 of the 50. Now, the other three, it's not like they didn't volunteer. They're pretty much on standby. So this information, what I'm handing out, that's a couple of days old. So they may be deployed. But so the help keeps on coming in this. Now, there may be a time, right, depending how Irma works out in Florida, that if you're a government agency, you're going to have to say, okay, we have this in Texas. Now are we going to have to ship some of this stuff, you know, back towards Florida? So they'll just have to make them decision as it go along, depending how bad Florida is affected by the hurricane, if they do get hit. I don't want to create a bad omen on them, but certainly at the last point I looked, it looked like the state of Florida was going to get some kind of contact by Irma. So unless it just does something unnatural right now and really goes out, makes it right. So,
which we're hoping, kind of hope it does.
Yes, absolutely. They said it had a little right bend in it last night and moved kind of over about 60 miles, a little farther than what it was. So I hope that kept going. One of the other things that came up and is still being talked about is price gouging. It's unfortunate, like Steve was saying, that people would do this and take advantage of people.
But they do it, Jimmy.
And, well, I tell you what, we got looters. That's something that's going to be dealt with. But these fines can go up to $25,000, and you can lose your business.
So
depending what you've done and how bad to the extent that you were doing it. So the Attorney General's office also has a 1-800 number, and there's been over in Steve's area, my understanding, there's already been over 1,000 complaints on price gouging in the Harris County area just alone.
Because I heard somewhere that said at one point some places gas was like at $6.
Yeah.
So gas.
And so we understand 20, 30, 40 cents.
It's going to go up.
That's going to go up.
It happens every year.
We're talking cents. We're not talking dollars, right? So we were at, what, 209, 219, 225. So we've seen gas up to like 260 or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you start, you know, so they're going to have to sit, okay, they're going to have to make a decision to what degree did they go up to make the decision whether or not they actually committed an offense. And I think most people agree, well, if it stayed under $3, it's probably no. But if they start charging $4, $5, $6 gas, several dollars going up, when there, and by the way, there was really no shortage. I'm going to tell you what happened. If you sit there and listen to up in Dallas, I even got a phone call. A lady called me and said, hey, do I need to fill up? I said, what are you talking about? Well, I'm hearing this. I said, well, I've been assured through government officials that that's under control. Matter of fact, we were getting gas from Oklahoma and New Mexico.
It was coming from further away.
We turned around the pipeline that we have going to Oklahoma. They reversed that. And so that's why we were being told we should not have a fuel shortage over this. Let's think about this, Craig. A lot of people walked out in the Harris County area and stuff, and their car wouldn't go nowhere, right? They weren't using no gas. Okay. Gas being used down there was probably emergency vehicles and everything. Now, you know, there's a few people that, you know, whatever, but a lot of vehicles, unfortunate, was underwater. So, so I think just the rumor itself, it kind of got people thinking about it, thinking, Bob, better hurry up and go fill up.
A little mass hysteria kicks in.
And then they were doing it for two reasons. One, to make sure they got gas, and they are getting more gas, taking gas cans and stuff with them. Two, they were worried about the cost. So that panic there got everybody to the gas lines, and that's what caused your shortage. So then the stores and stuff that were going out, they just had to close the pumps until they can get the order in to get their tanks refilled. But I think that part was, what to me, was really called more of the shortage than if everybody just kind of did what they were normally did, then we would have been okay on
it. They're saying that, you know, every time this happens, a hurricane like this, it always happens like this.
Right.
Yeah, it does.
To where, you know, people are getting a little more gas, and then, you know, it always happens.
Craig, we've seen people with the actual home water jugs filled with, I mean, one guy had a small barrel. I mean, it was more of a nervousness thing than anything, but like Jimmy said, the report that price gouging, and it just simply says if you suspect or if you actually witness this price gouging, the 1-800 number is 1-800-621-0508. 1-800-621-0508. That's if you actually are a victim of price gouging or you suspect.
Now let's go over this real quick before people, you know, to see what is price gouging. Okay. You know, you're seeing, you know, for anything, you know, if it's just a little higher than normally is, that's just how things fluctuate with it. But if it's exorbitant,
right,
then that's what, you know, at what point does it become price gouging?
Okay, stand by for my definition.
Okay, I was going to say, you know, at what point do we get to price gouging?
All right, I'm going to let Jimmy give his definition because, again, Jimmy in a Texas law book, I mean, this is Jimmy, but during the declared disaster emergency, mm-hmm. you know, if an individual starts pumping up the price, that's price gouging. I mean, just in layman's terms.
Yeah.
Jim, go ahead.
When a seller spikes the prices of goods, service, or commodities to a level much higher than is considered reasonable.
Okay. At what point does that, I mean, where is it? What is that point?
Okay. So, like I was saying, so how these things get filed and when they do get investigated, okay, it's just like what I'm saying on the gas part. Mm-hmm. If gas was like $2.29 or whatever and old boy went up $3.50, they're not going to. I'd say, yeah. You know, but when you start getting them dollar amounts, if somebody went up a couple of dollars while everybody was charging $2.30, whatever, and old boy went to $4.30, then I think you got a claim.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get that confused just because old boy hit you up for an extra 30 cents. They're probably not going to go after that guy. It's too much market fluctuation in the gas prices during this time for them to go out. But if that boy went up a couple of dollars during that deal, then I think we have that's how they're going to have to look at some of these. So some of these have got reported. Not all of them will be considered, when it's all said and done, price gouging. But there is some that I think got filed that they will do something about.
Yeah.
So I think as they look, they're going to have to look at each. It's kind of like we do an accident. Mm-hmm. Each one we have to look at separately, see what was going on, see what they actually did, and then conclude based on what they were seeing. So give them the best information you can. If you're going to report something, right, write some things now because they got some questions. You can't say, hey, Home Depot or somebody like that, some major store went up on the price. Well, you need a little bit more information than that, okay?
Yeah.
So I would detail as much as you can based on what you're seeing and why you think it's price gouging. It's going to help them, and they'll document that so when they go in to investigate, then that will give them something to go on and to look for while they're doing the investigation.
So you got to be more descriptive than that lady when that guy walked in and robbed that store. And we said, well, what does the guy look like? He was a guy with a hood.
Yeah.
Got to be more descriptive.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Which way did he go?
Outside.
He went outside last time I saw him.
True story.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's
true
good.
Story.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about as true as you get. Okay. Oh, man. So don't get me laughing, Steve. But, okay. All right. Driver license office. Okay. So, as you know, there's been some things put out on driver license. I'm looking up affecting Thursday, September 7th, which, hey, that's the day.
That's today.
Right? I'm looking at all region offices will be open for business on Thursday, except for the following offices listed below. Brazoria, Alvin in Brazoria.
Yeah.
Winkler in Harris County. Houston East, Harris County. Beaumont in Jefferson County. Port Arthur in Jefferson County. Orange in Orange County, and Livingston in Polk County. So what do we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. These are offices that are still closed in our region. Now, so again, if you are needing some type of DL, whether it be an address change or renewal or whatever that, one of the things they were pushing out is that if you're affected by this hurricane and you live in one of these areas and stuff, they're going to work with you on the cost of doing that, the fees and stuff like that. And always remember this. It's not like your registration, your taxes. You can go to any driver license in the state of Texas to get to take care of your DL needs. So we have these Omega centers and stuff throughout the state. Brenham has an office here. So I would say this office here may see an influence of more people because of, you know, proximity to Harris County and all that. So where people are having to come up here to get taking care of their DL needs and stuff like that. But just remind yourself that some of these offices, because of the water, are still going to be closed. And so, like I say, you can go to any driver license in the state of Texas to take care of your DL needs. If you have any questions, certainly they can go in there and answer them for you.
So and you can also go online, too, because a lot of it can be done online.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. If you go to our DPS website, I'm sure we'll have postings there on these DL offices and which ones have been affected. Let's see here. Another thing being waived is oversized permits that trucking companies are used. And these are for loads that are met for Hurricane Harvey relief.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay. So don't say, hey, when you get pulled over, hey, Jimmy said I didn't have to have that.
Yeah.
Well, no, you better have some groundwork, some paperwork showing where you're going. It's called a bill of lading, by the way, where you're going with your load and all that stuff, and have some documentation to show the. So that they'll work. We're going to work with them people on this hurricane relief.
And we're doing that.
But on the other loads that are going around that has nothing to do with the hurricane, you're still going to have your permits.
Right.
Don't get that conversation confused if somebody tells you you don't have a permit no more. That was the intent of the permit thing. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Auto coverage. Okay, so we talked about this. So I made a phone call. And I'm going to tell you, insurance is not my expertise, even though I have a lot of it. And so I asked my agent, I said, look, one of the things when I sit back and I look at all these homes that were affected, the people that stayed, their cars were outside, and they got flooded too. And so my concerns was... if you had flood insurance, didn't have flood insurance, everybody has their own issues. But based on what he told me, for all insurance companies, if you had comprehensive insurance on that car, your vehicle, you should have some type of coverage of flooding of that vehicle, which is good. I didn't know. I didn't know what part of your insurance actually covered that, but that's what the gentleman told me. So hopefully some of these people that were affected by the hurricane and the water and stuff, they will at least have some type of insurance relief based on if they had proper insurance coverage on the automobile, because a lot of these cars were affected. I called old boy that I've been dealing with for a long time, a bit transmission specialist guy. And I said, hey, look, I'm not a mechanic, as you know. In so many words, can you level with me what to expect from these cars and stuff? He said, Jimmy, especially anything after 2010, you got to realize there's a lot of electronical stuff in these vehicles.
Yeah.
And any water and stuff in there is really going to damage them vehicles. It's not like the old 1960 pickup truck, go out there and drain the oil, put new gas in there, distribute the cap or whatever, and going down the road. So what the fix is on that, I'll be honest with you, I don't know. So where all the years that we've had all these nice devices and all that stuff and all these fancy things that we've had in our car, well, that may be the difference whether or not your car is going to start back up or not. So that's another issue down the road that's going to have to be looked at, and I really don't know how to answer that other than the electronics in these vehicles is going to make a really difference whether somebody can use that car or not anymore. So just thought I'd point that out, just kind of give a perspective on if you had one of these cars affected by that. So if you don't mind, let's take one more break.
I was just going to say that. We'll do that.
And we'll come back and close this thing out. Hopefully, get some more questions for us.
I think you're too good today. Yeah, your conversation is way too good today.
They're listening.
All right.
You know what, Jimmy?
What's that?
Starbucks ain't got nothing on this coffee up here.
No, it does a good job with that coffee. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Well, don't tell them that. All right. Coming up, we're going to have more of the safety talk today on KWHI. Questions again, 979-836-9937, or I'll check the emails again, mail, M-A-I-L, KWHI.com. Come back after this on KWHI.
Stop in Allied Ace Hardware in Brent for September super savings with these red-hot buys. Get your lawn and garden in shape for the fall with Scott's Turf Builder, only $17.99 with your Ace Rewards card. Ace Green Turf Weed and Feed for Southern Lawns is only $14.99 with your Ace Rewards card. Plus, yard and garden tools, shovels, spades, hoes, and rakes are red-hot buy at only $14.99 each. Don't forget to change your air conditioner filters. Ace has filter allergen defense air filters in assorted sizes. They are buy two, get one free. And check out all the great deals on Craftsman tools, drive socket sets, 7-piece roll-up wrench sets, and 16-inch toolbox. Your choice, only $11.99. When you're through with all your fall projects, sit back and enjoy all the birds you've attracted with the 20-pound sack of wild bird feed you got at Ace for only $9.99, plus the 7 pounds of premium songbird seed you got for free. Save on all the red hot buys this September at Allied Ace Hardware, 307 North Austin Parkway in Brenham. Ace is the helpful place.
Tune in Tuesdays at 9 a.m. for Community Corner on KWHI AM 1280. Community Corner is a program to keep you informed about happenings in Washington County. Tuesday, September 12th, Craig will be speaking with David Wellman, president of the Washington County Fair Association, about the upcoming Washington County Fair. If you have an event that you're planning and would like to share the information with the public, contact Holly at 979-836-3655. Community Corner, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on Friendly Country KWHI.
Welcome back to another edition of Safety Talk today on KWHI. We've got a few minutes left in the show today, so we'll hear more of these guys. The sergeants in studio, Morgan and Woodard, they're here today. They're entertaining us. They're informing us.
Man, I wish I didn't have to talk about this stuff. I mean, it's overwhelming. Okay, so you got a call in on the roadway with the truck driver.
Yeah, we talked about 11:55 about the road closure.
And where is that, Craig? Because I'm nothing.
You know where the light is in Chapel Hill?
Yeah.
That road that goes off, coming from Houston, you go to the right at the light. That's that's 11:55 going into Chapel Hill.
Yeah, yeah.
And that goes all the way down.
So that's the flooded area, the particular area where the water's standing.
Well, it's down a ways. I don't know how far down. So if it's a ways down, it's a low area. It floods every time. And if it rains a couple inches, it's going to flood that roadway all the time.
So you had a call on what, Jim?
Well, I was going to say, Craig probably described what the gentleman said. It's kind of what I had mentioned earlier about signage before the barricades.
So what the gathering, the gentleman, they had signs up that said the road was closed down the roadway, but the barricades were further down. Yeah. From that sign is what it says. So they put a sign and say, you know, by the way, you don't look road closed.
So that sound like to me the trucker did not heed to the warning.
Yeah, he may not have seen it.
Right.
You know, it could be one of those things. Don't know.
Let me tell you something about them signage, Craig. About not seeing things. Let me ask you this.
Doesn't matter.
Let me ask you this.
If you don't see it, right?
Isn't amazing how your eyes work so good? Right? 20/20 vision.
20/20.
Okay. When you're leaving a town and you can see that 70, but you can't see that 55 coming in.
Right.
Isn't it amazing how that works?
So is it the vision or is it selective vision?
Well, you tell me. I'm just saying, it's amazing how that works. Right?
I understand.
It's amazing. What do you think, Greg?
I'm going to leave that one alone. Yeah. I plead the fifth on that one.
I'm going to drink this coffee.
Hey, don't hold on to me now. I'm sinking. Don't hold on to me. I mean, give me a hand. So another thing I like to talk about is the mail service. probably need to pay attention kind of where you want to send these letters and stuff to, whatever you're sending, because the Postal Service in some of these areas, again, if we can't get to them, they're probably not going to be able to get to them. So I would hold off or double check before I send the postal, maybe call the person who you want to make sure they are getting mail delivery down there and not getting held up and stuff. Or you might have found a different means of getting whatever you're trying to do, especially if you're trying to send somebody some money or whatever it may be or whatever. So double check on that. And I don't know if the U.S. Postal Service on their website has these area codes, zip codes, and all that good stuff. Zip codes, I guess it would be. They have them log which ones they're having affected areas in. But I do know they had a list at one time of that. So just remind people of that, that probably want to take a good look at that before you send that letter out. And going to, just to get off subject just a little bit, there's a scenario out there, Steve. We added texting. We're the 47th state in Texas. Was the 47th state to implement a texting driving law started September 1st.
Yeah, right.
Okay?
Well, I was going to ask you a question about that. Now, this is a texting only, right?
Yes.
It's not a hands-free.
Nope.
Okay. So so how does that work? You know, I'm going down. You can call. Talk on the phone while you're driving, right?
Well, that's what I was going to get to.
Okay.
Okay, hang with me here.
All right,
I'm
going to
throw a scenario out there.
All right, that's what
I'm going to throw a scenario.
Evidently, we are on the same page.
You can see Jimmy's rad back in his chair. I mean, it's really getting ready.
He's
to get
giving some beady eyes, isn't he?
You hang with me on this one, because hey, as always, I'm going to lay a foundation.
Okay.
Before I build the wall.
Now I'm going to tell you what you got. I only got a couple of minutes left on the show.
Well, I'm going to lay this foundation.
Okay.
Okay. So the foundation is we have a texting across Texas, texting ban. So we still have school zones and all that stuff, hands-free and all that. So here's the scenario. Now, my understanding of this is that the Texas law will supersede any city ordinance that had an effect on their texting ban.
Okay.
Now, as you know, right? Now, Steve, this is going to be clever on me here. As you know, that there is some city ordinance out there. They didn't only have texting, they had hands-free.
Sure.
I'm
sure.
Not going to name any towns, okay, because I don't want to be pointing anybody. I'm just going to tell you that there was, okay? Mm-hmm. So you're going down the road, okay, and you get pulled over. Officer walks up to the window, and he says, what? Hey, I stopped you today because it appeared to me that you were texting and driving, okay? Now, there were some city ordinance had a certain set of fines. The fine, my understanding on texting and driving here in Texas, is $25 to $99 fine.
That's the state.
That's the state.
Correct.
Are you correct with that?
I'm with you.
You
on
with
that.
Me?
I'm
okay.
With
that's first offense.
Okay. Now, there is city ordinance out there that hands-free, their fines were $25 to $200. Okay. Now, you're getting stopped, and depending where you're stopped at, I done told you the fine was $25 to $99 on the texting.
Mm-hmm.
So if the officer says, hey, I saw you on your phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you were what? Well, in some areas, you might have been dialing, but you may say, yeah, I was texting. Why? Because that fine on that texting is a lot less than that city ordinance fine for calling somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following me?
Was that free, Jimmy?
That's free information.
All right.
Something to think about.
Now you're in trouble either way.
Yeah.
He's costing the state money now.
Yeah. But
don't look at it that way. Don't. Hey, thank it. Don't do it. But look at it this way. I'm trying to save the motor some money.
Oh, okay. Is that what it is?
That's what I'm trying.
All right. Working out for the little man.
In a nutshell, the call can wait.
Yes, please.
The call can wait. In a nutshell, really,
it really is.
It can wait.
Yes, pull over. So, Anyway, that's all I have. Thanks for having us today. I was glad to be able to make it. I didn't know. I was sitting in Jasper, Texas yesterday, so I was thinking I was going to have to call my buddy here, Steve, and do something by phone. I didn't know how that was going to work.
We rocked it.
Steve could have done it.
Yeah, so I had full confidence. But I've done some other shows over the line. I had troopers in place, so it worked out. So I'm just glad I was able to make it. And
we are too.
And I just hope for everybody things get better. And if you got a chance to reach out, help somebody during all this, do that. There's no better feeling to be able to help somebody out when they're in need like this.
So. That's so true, Jimmy. You know, all year I've been doing this program with Jimmy now for about 4.5 years, and we always talk about hurricane preparedness. And, you know, despite everything that has happened, we just hope that if something else comes around, that everyone's prepared.
Right.
And I can echo what Jimmy said. If you can help somebody, why not? Makes you feel good.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it very, very much. That's going to do it. Another edition of Safety Talk in the books today on KWHI. We're going to hear from Holly Rodder. She's going to be at the CTE Blood Drive today from the Brenham High School ROTC building parking lot at the Brenham High School. It's coming up 9 o'clock on KWHI in Brenham.